Unit 4. Exercise 28.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our programme, History at Lunchtime. Today, my guest is Professor Thomas Williamson from the University of Newcastle and will be talking about the history of human rights. Professor Williamson, the year 2015 will mark the 800th birthday of the Magna Carta, so a document from the Middle Ages. Does that really have any importance for us today?
Well, from our modern point of view, that might seem a good question. But let's take a look at the early 13th century first, shall we? For people living in 1215, the Magna Carta meant a great change, something unheard of before. Suddenly, their king was forced to sign a document that guaranteed certain rights to noblemen, like barons or dukes. He also had to state that the law was more important than his personal will. Of course, for most of the normal people, nothing much changed in their everyday lives. But at least they could now be sure that the king couldn't have them hanged just because he didn't like their nose, or, more important, because he wanted their land. And that is exactly the reason why the Magna Carta is still important today. We rightly consider it the starting point of some of our ideas of democracy, individual rights, and personal freedom.
But our ancestors in the Middle Ages hadn't themselves invented the idea of giving rights to the people, had they?
You've got a point there. The idea that a person has certain rights can already be found in the works of philosophers like Plato, Aristotle, or Cicero in ancient Greece and Rome. However, in those societies, the word person meant only a small part of the population, only men, and only such men who were born free. The same is true for the time of the Magna Carta.
But that seems far away. When we think of human rights today, we're more likely to look back no more than 250 years to the American Declaration of Independence of 1776 and the French Revolution of 1789.
Yes, of course, but ideas of human rights had been introduced by philosophers of the 17th and 18th century. The colonists in America were the first to turn them into political action when they declared the colonies independent. They argued that they were in the right by declaring that all men are created equal and have certain rights like life or liberty. But a closer look shows that again only a small part of the population was meant. People who owned less than a certain amount of money, Native Americans, the great number of black slaves in the southern colonies, and of course women, didn't have those rights.
So what changed in the French Revolution?
Well, basically, the French Revolution brought the first written list of human and civil rights. But these idealistic thoughts were soon forgotten when the revolution grew more and more radical. As a consequence, the whole idea of liberty and equality turned into a tyranny. And the problem with every kind of tyranny is that the people lose their rights.
So, when did human rights become a reality for everyone, at least here in the Western world?
Well, it's not easy to give an exact date or year, but the development began in the 19th century when workers fought for their dignity and rights. Then, at the beginning of the 20th century, women campaigned for the right to vote, which might be considered the most important of all civil rights. But it was World War II which brought the breakthrough. From the American point of view, the war with Nazi Germany was a battle for democracy and human rights against fascism. Shortly after the end of the war, the USA was the driving force behind the Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations. Since then, more and more countries have accepted this catalogue of human rights.
Could you answer one last question? What does the future hold for human rights?
That's a difficult one. Human and civil rights are now widely accepted throughout the world. But the fight for them must continue as long as there are regimes that don't want to give human and civil rights to their people.
Thank you, Professor Williamson.